churches filled with ones following Jesus, helping others to follow Jesus. What does it mean to make disciples? Well, you rightly said, as we looked at making disciples, what would it include? We said, well, making sure you yourself are a disciple, growing in being a disciple. And that's where we're going to talk about. You hear that in the morning service, as if we are children of light and we're not the light, then we follow the light and we reflect the light. When I make the charge, and not alone, and I'm not the largest authority, that churches are not reproducing in healthy ways, not discipling. And when you turn around and say the pastor isn't doing it, well, we got to think. Why is this church not growing? There's many reasons, but one of it is because you're not bringing people in here. Why? Who should you bring in here? Those that are saved. You said, well, what about the unsaved? Good. Do you know how to take people from where they are to what it is to follow Jesus? And at some point, they are not. I was talking with somebody about this yesterday. You're not helping them to be a better person. You're not helping them to clean up their life. You are taking them toward regeneration, born of the Spirit, and so that they can take their place among the saints. That's how churches grow. In fact, you look around in here, people either came in through a website or through a person of contact. Okay? It was contact. Who are those people that have brought people in here? That's where we're not there yet. And why aren't we there? Because we're not helping each other to become complete in Christ. That's what we need to do. There should be a web in here. Everything that we've been talking about, and so you put up what making disciples of Jesus include. If you looked at this list is on the PowerPoint. Some of you need to learn how to get to that PowerPoint and study it. Why? It didn't just come from the front. It came from you guys. We're together wrestling with this stuff. This is the life of being a disciple and making a disciple. Okay, if you would do these things, and that's why we've been going through these passages, the more we head in this direction, there should be a net in here where everybody is included. You won't get to everybody, I won't get to everybody, but this would include accomplishing these purposes in everyone's life in here in a way that the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You would carry that out then with your household, your neighbors, your relatives, but it would start in here. It would start in here. Your local church is where you live out the commands of Christ, and it goes out from there. The church sends people out. The church grows. The church spreads. Why? Because the church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's a group of people created and loved by God, tied by their relationship with God, originated by God, but accepted individually for the purpose of exhibiting the glory of God to mankind through faithful and joyful service. Look at these lists. And these are all part of the life of a disciple maker. We spent a couple weeks in Galatians 4. I'm done there. Look at Galatians 6. Okay. That's that. It's hard to see. I have a little field trip here real quickly. Okay, there's now internet in this church that you're not going to get right now because we're trying to figure out how the bandwidth is going to work. But just so you know that there's the possibility internet in here. But let's see, CB Church, Lancaster, PA. Next step, listening, other messages, password. Living faith. Living faith. Okay, comes up. And Does anybody pull it up yet? I'm doing this, you know, if you don't have a phone or you've already got it, you're saying, why are we doing this? Because I'm trying to send a portal for you all to head. Here I have it. There's Habakkuk from, there's Habakkuk, Injustice. Okay. Browse series. You go to series. You found it? Is it there? There you go. Okay. Is it a dull gray? There. Yes, there it is. There it is. I see it right at the top. Adult Sunday School. Okay, there's a big thing underneath. It says, from the series, Adult Sunday School Background and Purpose. And there's a dull gray that says, Notes and Slides underneath. Okay, and they often don't get up till Wednesday of the week. But you can look at the weeks before because those are there. Okay. So let's just continue. I just have a few more. We could go, but my point is to show you some of these are pointed and showing this is directly related to disciple making. Others, I wanted to show you what is in, if these are relational things that we are commanded to do, well, then what does it include? So here we go, Galatians 6. Brett, you know this passage, right? So Galatians 5 comes out of the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, go back to Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13. You are called to freedom, brethren. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. If we use Ephesians 4:15 and 16 as the template for what we're supposed to be doing in here, I quoted it. Each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Well, then you look in here. You were called to freedom. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And I'm going to say the flesh, not only you paying attention, you're distracted by other things, all right? So for some of you, I've heard, you know what? I should be thinking about these people during the week, but I'm not. I'm thinking about everything else till I come in here. That's one of the reasons we repeat. You need to be thinking about this stuff throughout the week. You need to be praying for the people in here, texting certain ones, even if you can't get to everybody. Somebody needs to be on your heart as you're praying for us to come to the completion of what God wants us to do. But here it says, through love, serve one another. Whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. Well, you can't bite until we get close, which is why I said sometimes we've said all the nice things to each other. When we finally rub and we finally get honest, it's going to be a little rough. All right? Doesn't have to be. But that would mean that I would rather work through little tensions as they come up and speak about it. Usually we put those under the rug because we say they're little. Then it grows to something big. But the problem is not the fight. The problem is you're thinking wrongly about me. I'm thinking wrongly about you. And the point is not just me and you agreeing about each other. We are to help each other grow to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. If you and I disagree, God wants us to grow to the unity of the faith. Life is too short for that to happen, but you need to invest time with that. You go, no, I don't have to help you. You won't listen. I go, well, I don't have to help you. You won't listen. And you go, if we stop this feisty talk, then we can all have a happy church. No, then we will all have an independent church. We'll all be independent of one another. Walk by the Spirit. You say, well, we can't have unity in here. Yes, walk by the Spirit. Ephesians 4 says, preserve it, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now then you know, I'm not going to read through that. Deeds of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, let us walk by the Spirit. Fellowship with the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I'm going to just stop there, okay? I gave the background in Galatians 5. I want you to comment on Galatians 5:25 to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 3 or 4, okay? I know the other relates. If you want to briefly talk about the rest, but want to focus this discussion, what does making disciples include, according to Galatians 5:25 to 6, 3 or 4? Go ahead. What does it include? Jim?
We live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. What happens during the week, a lot of times for myself, too many distractions. Just get my mind redirected somewhere else. So when I'm thinking about someone that I should be thinking about in our church family, sometimes something else comes up, like an issue or circumstance, then your mind goes in different directions.
There you go. Conscious living by, with, or under the Spirit. Because that's what I want to think. More than just us being rebellious. You and I are rebellious at some times. We don't see it because we're busy seeing other people's rebellious. And usually people aren't rebellious until you try to stop them. We don't have many people during the week trying to stop us. So we just call it a spouse, marriage problem or other things. But, who else do you have trying to stop you? That's where you see where your will is. But it's not just your will. It's the distractions of all. You say distractions, it's what I got to do. No. Fix your mind on things above. So here, in this passage, it being a disciple means conscious living by, with, under the Spirit. Then you saw back in 5, it's through love, serve one another, okay? Well, then what does that include that's going to deal with making disciples as you keep working through here? Yes, it's going to, first, you just got to get your head straight. You don't got to just do what I'm telling you to do, all right? Yeah, and even in here, see, it's by only saying, I'm not trying to disobey these verses that we're able to keep going. No, we're saying live by the Spirit. What does making disciples include in here? What do you got? Look for anything that has to do with your focus, disposition, and then your interaction with others. Go, Brian.
Well, just looking at Galatians 6, it says to restore others with a spirit of gentleness.
Say it.
Restore others with a spirit of gentleness.
Okay. All right. So he took out of there, restore with spirit of gentleness. All right, let's just play this game, all right? Take that. There's your pinnacle, all right? That's that little pyramid, right? There it is. You're supposed to restore with a spirit of gentleness. What is implied in that? What else is involved in that whole worldview? What's in that phrase? What does that mean, Brian? That includes...
Well, I just think it means because you are... The same thing could happen to you, so you don't deal with people. Harsh.
Okay. All right. All these words got to be worked through. He's saying the same thing could happen to you. Look in this passage. That's what it's saying all over the place, right? Let us not become boastful, challenging one another. That's all around that. This whole thing is saying whatever you see in them, all right, wherever they need to go, watch out for yourself. And you say, yeah, I am. That's why I'm not saying anything. So butt out of my life. It's like, no, that whole attitude is not the attitude of this. That this is implying, okay, part of that pyramid is what you see can also be seen in your life. All right? What you see can also be seen in your life. You tread very carefully. Okay? What, you got something else? All right. Pastor?
It implies there's a standard that is supposed to be set, and it implies that that standard is not being met. And there's a way of getting back, and it needs to be gotten back to.
Okay, what you see can also be seen in you. Okay? A standard. Okay? I was talking with somebody yesterday on the phone about this as we went through a situation with somebody else. in here, and that's what we were talking about. We said failure to have this discussion. We couldn't figure it out. We didn't have the solution. But we said failure to what I told somebody else recently when I said, well, what do we do with so-and-so? How do we help them grow? And the person looked back at me and said, I don't know. And I said, I don't know isn't a good discipleship program. Do you know what I mean? That's why I said you need a but. I don't know, but I think. No, I don't know, but I don't think that. And right here, he said, I don't know, but we need to restore. And I don't know, but no, there's something missing with how you're restoring. Something. Gentle. Well, again, who decides what's gentle? Remember, that's a relative term. Remember, I didn't like getting splinters taken out by my dad. But remember, he was trying. You know, he was just like, give me the needle. Cauterize the needle. And he lit it up with a match, right? And you look at this black needle and you thought, yeah, that looks cleaner than it was, right? And then hold your finger. And I thought, now that needle's going to my finger. It's like, there's no way this is going to be beneficial. None. Right? But then the more you pull away, the more it hurts. Right? It's like, fine, you pull away. And he's like, well, I can't get it out. Right? So here, he said there's a standard, all right, that not only must be adhered to, but returned to. Well, that's what I was talking with that person I was talking about. If we fail to have uncomfortable discussions, even when it's a lot of I don't knows, that's how doctrinal creep happens inside of churches and denominations. Doctrinal creep. Because what you say, all right, is not what's being lived out in your life, in my life. You say, because there's a lot of buts. But everybody's attacking my wife. Everybody's attacking my daughter. Everybody's attacking. And you go into protect and defend mode rather than saying, wait, what are we getting? We have to keep this standard. Maybe we can change how we're doing it, but we have to keep a standard, okay? Humility, all right? And where is it? Taryn, up here? All right. Go. Yeah, but she had her hand up first. All right. Go. I'll overrule all of you. All right, go ahead. Just in here. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, just simply, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Right.
It's not an option. We have to be doing this. If we are living by the Spirit, we will be doing what the Spirit wants us to do. And, well, yeah.
Not an option to walk by Spirit. And that's what I'm trying to point out, that by the Spirit includes these other people. You're not allowed. The whole individualism that we talk about, that's not just Pastor John Beating up here, all right? If you read anything, that's what you're hearing, all right? And you could see it in the cancel culture, in the YouTube culture. You're not married to YouTube. So if you're getting strengthened by your opinions, by YouTube, you're missing out on dealing with the people that God has put in your life, all right? Think of that. If you're married, anytime you don't like if your wife talks to girlfriends, you think, well, whatever, she came back and she was, you know, she was ramped up and ready to attack, all right? Or if you don't like the man talking to his man friends, usually that doesn't happen as much. That's why you pick on the girls for that, all right? Well, that's what YouTube is. That's what YouTube is. It's an additional person in the bed that's making it harder and harder for you to deal with the people that you're with. You will walk by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit includes not biting and devouring me. You said, well, you can't bite and devour me. You're right, but there's a standard. Gentleness, we're going to have to figure out. How do you do that? Remember I said I know how to train my children in a worldly way. How do I do it by the Spirit? Which is what I've said, is what is a holy spanking? Right? What is a holy crossing somebody's will? What is a holy argument? What is a holy anger? And if you don't think of that, you say this whole discussion is bad. Just stop. That's how you get an individualistic culture. You just stop. And what does everybody do? Their own thing. It's not an option to walk by the Spirit. Go, Taryn.
I was going to do another subhead or implication under Restore the Spirit.
Yes, up here.
So I was thinking like a personal responsibility for their souls. I'm still reminded of, I think it was Ezekiel 33, where he lays out like, it's your responsibility to tell them about what's going to happen, like, you know, eternity. Yeah. And if you do, then you're kind of not exempt, but like you've done what you could. If you don't, then their blood is on, or their soul is basically on your head.
Yeah, do you hear that? Some of you are pretty touchy when we talk about can people leave a church or not. My concern is we're so focused on protecting the people that leave that you're not thinking through what their responsibility and our responsibility is to fellow Christians. People will leave. You can't stop that. And it might be mine or your fault, but a lot of it, what we're arguing for, if you go back through these slides, that most of it comes out of your mouth as a direct application from these verses, you need to ask, are we doing that in here? And when people leave and say, nobody was doing it to me in here, I'm going to turn right around and say, do you have the Spirit in you? Then you should have been doing that in here. You say, well, that's not fair. Everybody doesn't have to work through all of this stuff. Leave it alone. Well, then you need to feel the weight of Ezekiel 33. And that's what it says right here in Galatians 6. See, the point isn't, are these the best leaders? Is this the best church? This is a church. And when you go, not my problem, he won't listen. I'm telling you, that's what I feel about some of us. They won't listen. I just texted somebody this week that we're struggling, and that one allowed me in a little bit. And I said, it's so much easier when we're able to continue this discussion this way than trying to figure out if I should poke the bear. Are we allowing in? Because otherwise we're causing each other to disobey the Spirit that says, these people around you, you see a sin, you see a trespass, work through with it. So what's the goal? Not to get rid of the sin, to restore fellowship with God. What do we preserve in here? Not the unity of Cornerstone, the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:13, the unity of the faith. Where is it, Sandy?
Much different than what's already been said, but in 6:2 it says, bear one another's burdens. So again, it's not an option. We can't just sit by and say, it's not my problem. It doesn't affect me. It does, because if we are all part of the family of God, it is affecting all our relationships with God.
If it is a burden, we bear it. And that's positive and negative. I said, you suffer for my sins, I suffer for yours. And that's not a light statement. Sin separates. Sin puts tension on relationships. In here, is there proof that you and I care more about our unity with the Godhead than we care about our unity with each other? And if we care about our unity with the Godhead, there will be the unity of the Spirit in here. See, you come after me not just because you say John is destroying lives by his selfishness or his blindness. You say John is out of step with the Spirit. I want to help John. Why? Because you're in step with the Spirit. And you go, well, no, I'm not in step with the Spirit. He's not in step with the Spirit. Ah, that's who are in the flesh. Galatians 5 says we'll bite and devour one another. Right? Well, that's why you have tension. Good. James 4, what is the source of quarrels among you? Isn't it your lusts which wage war in your members? All right, so then don't be surprised. And that's what Paul Tripp's first title was. Ah, man, even he got bashed for being too negative. Remember his marriage book was called what? What did you expect? Now, you know what it's called now? Marriage. 6 truths for helping have a more honest marriage. Because people thought it sounded too negative. All right? Somebody was looking for that book online, all right? And they're like, it doesn't exist. And I went and found out why. All right? But I like the first title. Because that's where I want to say in here. It's not that your marriage is going to be terrible. It's not that church is going to be terrible. Perhaps we haven't dealt with the level that God wants us to deal with one another. It's going to be a little messy before it gets right. Because the point is your fellowship with the Spirit. You're not tied together with me. You're not tied together with him. Vice versa. I feel the same thing. If I'm not tied together with you, I'm not tied together with him. That's why I'll keep trying. All right? It's messy. We're not going to get there. Because it says, now we know in part, then we will know fully. But it says, when we see him, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is, right? That's why you look forward to his return. And remember what the next verse says in 1 John? Everyone who has this hope fixed on him, what? Purifies himself. So by you looking at what you have with me, with her, see, usually you have it with me because I'm pushing. If this is a healthy body, there'll be more people going somewhere. If you have more people going somewhere, you're going to have more tension, right? Remember what I told you? I'm trying to get my dinner table to be a building up conversation instead of a tearing apart conversation. We're heading there, but it's a little loud. It's a little loud. We're heading there, all right? I can see it. In order for us to head there, first we have to speak these things that are underneath. It'll get a little loud. But then we fix our eyes on him. If it's a burden, we bear it. We suffer for your sins, but we should also carry each other's burdens. What do you got? Go, Jonathan.
Another thing I see here is two warnings against pride. In verse 26, let us not become conceited, going back to, since we live by the Spirit, we're all tied together under the same thing. Don't look at yourselves as the one, well, as being better, because we're all receiving it from the same place. And then in verse 1, but watch yourselves or you may also become tempted. We are not immune to problems. We can fall into sin just as easily, and we need to be aware of that and all under God in the same way, realizing we are all sinners. And this really helps when we're talking about making disciples, because it can feel very much like not a peer-to-peer thing. And you can think, oh, well, I don't want to be over somebody because I'm not that good, or that I don't know.
Right.
It can be weird. Or I don't want to be under somebody. But it's like, no, we are all... Going back to Dever's definition of discipling, yes. It's just helping others follow Jesus as right. We are learning under God to follow him. And so we're only able to do it because, like every other Christian, we are walking by the Spirit and strengthened by the Spirit. And like everyone else, we are in danger of falling into the very same sins, and we need to be humbly under God, recognizing that, and that kind of that makes it encouraging. As we look to fight against our own sins, we can help others, and vice versa. We all have different gifts, and
right.
And it's not a I'm better than you, or right. I think you need this help, and I can give it to you because I'm perfect. But it's like, no, we're all helping each other. We're soldiers working with each other to win a spiritual war.
Tied together in same battle against flesh for fellowship of spirit. Okay? We're tied together. And so you hear what he said? I know this is feisty. I know I'm dropping a gauntlet. I know it sounds a little rough, okay? Well, look, it says down in verse 7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. In the context of 5 and 6, see, we've lifted all these verses out. In the context here is talking about if you're sowing according to the flesh, then you're what? You will not bear one another's burdens. You will not restore one another in spirit of gentleness. Why won't you restore? You don't even deal with them. You say, God doesn't want me to fight, so I won't fight. I back right out of it. No. If when you obey what you're saying in here, look, that's where 9 comes in. Verse 9 isn't to help. Remember, me, the fat man, wouldn't finish my daily run. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't grow weary or don't lose heart. It's having to encourage you. Romans 15, which we won't go to, which is the one that's encouraging us to with one voice glorify God. It's talking about look at the scriptures so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, you only need perseverance with that when you think it's too much. And what I'm arguing for is individualism is so rife inside of our Christianity that you feel like this is all John David pushing something that is his hobby horse. You need to strip this down again and see that you are not saved for yourself. You were saved to be part of a people. And back to what Jonathan's saying, you don't have any more of the Spirit than I do. And if I have the Spirit, they have the Spirit, then we have something together. And you go, we can't get to all the Christians. Yes, that's why we make a big deal out of the local church. Deal with these Christians. They deal with those Christians. If every church is constantly changing members, the members now are running the church, not the Spirit. You don't have, and we're always looking, our heads are screaming for exceptions, and we're saying the norm in here is to be turning towards opening up slowly. And then when you want gentleness, that means because you go, fine, if I got to deal with this, well, now look inside your households at the worst tensions. And the households bring out the deepest in us, okay? What happens when you move toward the tension in your household? That's where you need to hear, with a spirit of gentleness, like Brian said. That's where you need to hear it. You say, I can't take anymore. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Due season will reap. You don't lose heart. Where is it? Stan, and then Sheldon. Thanks.
Yeah, a couple things. First is that it's kind of a given that we will be seeing things, or if we don't, that we should be. And then once we do, that we can't just see it, that we have to do something about it. So I think some of us need to be trained to actually take this in the right context, but look for trouble. Because some of our natures aren't that way. We'd like, when things are going smoothly, we'd like being encouraging. But to actually look, to develop the sense of seeing things that are wrong in a spiritual context, that takes some work sometimes. And so I think we need to, in a proper sense, focus on that more for how to see it, and then get into the fight with it. Fight in quotes, it doesn't have to be a fight. Yeah. At least we shouldn't be initiating the fight.
Yeah.
But to get involved in that way once we do see it, because the implication here is the expectation that healthy Christians will be seeing things.
Get
like
involved.
It's not just going through life and right. Enjoying God in one sense. The second thing, which if you want to speak to that, go ahead before I get into it.
No, go.
Okay.
Forgive me.
If you can nuance something, maybe I'm a bit too much paint by numbers, but you said we're not trying to fix sin or stop the sin. We're trying to restore the walking by the Spirit. But isn't the sin the problem?
Go ahead.
In the first place, that breaks that fellowship with the Spirit. So when we're working with someone, like,
come on,
aren't those goals interconnected? Like the restoration with the Spirit only happens through addressing the sin problem in the first place.
Right.
I just wanted to clarify where you were going with that.
I don't remember what I said. That must have been another John David. Because I'm very sorry. And you're right. No. Thank you for doing that. Because you know what? If we're going to get in these messy, I'm a talker, right? Some of the reasons I close my eyes is I can't remember all the things I'm going to say. And if I'm going to say stuff that's volatile, I want to say it precisely. And sometimes I'm sloppy with that. It's very helpful when you say, what exactly did you mean by that? So, because he's right. I guess when people are making fun of Christians, they say, watch out that you're not a sin sifter. You know, you're just running around looking for, there's another sin, I got one. And you run everybody through the grinder, all right? I guess in that sense, there's sin in me, there's sin in you. It won't be, remember my cynical way of saying it? I want us all to get back to normal sinning in this church. Normal sinning.
And then we can work on that.
What?
Then we can work on that.
That's totally it. Yeah. But see, then we have the same vision, And then we will treat each other gently because you realize it's in my life and it's in your life and we do it together. We fight it wherever it shows up, right? Like if we get an infestation of lice in here or something, then you go, geez, I still remember all my sisters and my mother sitting on the back deck at a house, on one above the other, working through the person in front of them's hair, right? And it was like, we got to get rid of the lice. And it's like, I'll do yours and you do mine. And it was kind of funny, except it was like gross, get it out. But isn't that how we're supposed to view sin? Sin is separating us from God. It's like, I'll get yours out, you get mine out, this is not good. Why? Why? Not because it's wrecking our life and there's a hole in our wall because somebody punched a wall this week. It's because it took us out of fellowship with the Spirit. You were saved from being apart from God. You are enemies of God. Now you have been brought near. And then you go, yes, but he paid for that. Yes, he paid for it so you would display his glory, right? He's building us into a spiritual house, 1 Peter 2:9, so that we might offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are on display as the people of God. So, yes, what he just said, you do need it. And why do I say cynically? Because when I poke on you guys, when people have asked who holds you accountable, you do. You know how you do? Because when I poke on you, you've told me everything that I think about myself and my relationships and my family and more. I've heard it. If you're thinking it, most likely I've heard it. You should still say it, but I've heard it. Then why do you treat your wife like this? Why is your kid like this? Why are you looking like this? Why are you talking like this? Why is your attitude like this? Why don't you look to yourself? You want to get your sins out? All you need to do is start getting in, helping somebody else with their sins. And they'll point out your sins, gladly. And you say, I don't want that. And I think that's part of what is making us pull back. You need a big hold on your own relationship with God, or you will grow weary in this kind of discussion. That's what you need. So when you and I, remember I said my role, I believe we need to clarify role of a pastor and elder. I wish we would read books on pastoring and eldering. Yeah, you can pick us apart. That's part of it. Just make sure you pick yourself apart too, because pastors come from congregations. That's where pastors come from, right? They were in the pews, right? Pastor John grew up in the pews without a pastor in his background, right? Then somebody said there's a call of God on his life. You go, well, it wasn't me. Okay? Well, careful. We have to change the whole way we view. Part of being an elder, I believe, is not telling everybody where they're wrong, but being a thermostat on how the congregation is acting. A thermostat. Whoops! You're right. I think. Not sure. But you're going too fast. That's going to blow. Step back. Consider the rest of the pieces. And let's move on. How do we do this together? Some of you are focused more on, because you're independent by nature, you're focused more on what you see as the values in this church. I say, well, even if you were right, how would you change this church to willingly accept your values as the right ones? How would you do that? There needs to be a thermostat. Sometimes it's too much too quickly. Okay? So, Stan, summarize that. Anything you said.
Yeah, it's 2 points.
Caused by sin, then in order to get somebody back in the right fellowship, we need to work on the sin. Like the two are inseparable.
Sin must be dealt with. Now be careful, because every time you're thinking his sin, their sin, you got to remember the rest of this. The ties of take heed to yourself. And some of that's my concern as an elder. I know where some of you are frustrated with me or with other people, and I thought, I can't even get near stuff in your life without you erupting. Do you know what you're asking of that person? You say, well, that's why I'm not saying it. Yeah, you're pulling back from them. You're not one with them because you can't start going after the sin because it'll get too hot. There's so much sin must be dealt with if healthy fellowship in church with head of church, with the head of the church, which is Christ. Yeah, go ahead, Sheldon.
I guess I have more of a question, and it's something that I've wondered about it a lot. That's bear one another's burdens.
Yes.
I guess a part of me when I read that, it's like my immediate thought is, why can't you just bear your own burdens? I mm-hmm. got mine, you got yours. Just let me carry mine. Like, and I will, if I see someone struggling, I have no problem like grabbing him and running with them.
Right.
But if I sense like, and I could be wrong about
this.
If I sense that there's no effort being put in.
Right.
By the person that's asking me for help, in a sense, and I'm not arrogantly saying it. I'm like, I'm not willing to stand by you, pick up your pack, and run while I'm carrying mine, because, like, I am being pulled down the same way you are. If I see an effort, grab me, help me, I'll help you. Like, I see, I understand that mindset, but at the same time, it's like, why should I?
Okay. And that's why I say this is a more nuanced discussion. Because, Dad and I have argued for years about should we push so-and-so, usually we're 87% in agreement that there's a problem with somebody or something, all right? Where he and I will wrestle for years is, should we go after that now or not? And his phrase has been, you can only work with those that want to be worked with. Okay? You can only work with those who want to be worked with, which is what you described. Back to what Stan said, a healthy church would be all of us want to be worked with, and all of us would be working. What I've also cynically said, I feel that you've heard this many times, right? If you're not rowing... If you're rowing, you don't have time to rock the boat. If you're rowing, you don't have time to rock the boat. Why is there so much underlying, bleh, all right? Well, often because there's not a combined mission. If we had the same mission, then he said, I'm struggling with the same thing. You're struggling with it? Good. I'll help you. You help me. We're struggling together. Well, that's what he said. Fight, not fight. Your fight is not with me or with her or with him. Your fight is the fight of fellowship with God, or the fight for faith and future grace. Remember that? That's your fight, okay? But here, give me, I'll let you say something here in a minute. I do want to come back to this one thing. What would be a reason then, because I've cynically said I feel like when the church doesn't have the same mission, people are sitting there like little birds with their mouths open saying, I'm not getting any food, put a worm in my mouth. And that's what he's describing, saying, you do your work to get your food. You'll see that in verse 5 here. Each one must bear his own load. Okay? You need to see that bear one another's burdens in the light of the context that's talking there. And so I want, whatever pastor's going to say here now, I want us to come back to this thing of in what context then, instead of maybe doing it all for that person, why should we stir the pot a little bit for the person who's not putting in any effort? You can't do it for them. And that's what I think is happening in many churches. When they want a relevant church. Well, they go to a church, and what you see is the mission just keeps growing less and less because we have to give you more what you want. So there's more and more of what you want and less of what he wants. It becomes a very baby church. At best, it's a baby church. It's an immature, struggling church. So after Pastor John, I want you to, we're going to come back to that, and I want you to answer, okay, in what context should we do something with people who aren't putting in any effort? Why would that be relevant to do something? But go ahead, Pastor, what are you thinking about?
I was just going to comment on what you said. I say.
Okay, go ahead.
And I do say that. You can only work with those who want to work. But that doesn't mean you forget about them. I'll get personal with you, Sheldon.
Yeah, go ahead.
I keep trying to reach out to your brothers.
Yeah.
I don't forget about them, but I keep trying to reach out to them. 6 months, a year, Bob Watts was here. In the 2 years he was gone, I would stop and see him every 6 months. And it took 2 years before they came back, the Watts. But as long as there's breath, I keep praying for, and Lord, help me to know. But if They don't want to work. No, it is very difficult.
Okay, and I'm going to get personal with that, too. It's why I think you guys are sinning with how we've handled people before they leave, and then why I think you're sinning and how we handle them after, where all of a sudden we spend more attention paying attention to people that leave than when they were here. And you go, well, maybe they have a point. Maybe they have a point. Well, they had a point when they were here 5 years, and you didn't even know those points existed. You go, well, we should listen to them. They didn't feel like they could be heard. Or where do you like to be heard? Usually where you think it will be heard. You're not willing to turn towards the heavy stuff when we're in relationship. We just let it go. Okay? What would be a reason? He's right. But where I was going with that is that's why I say when we've been working with them for years and years and years and they won't deal with the issues in here, then they've lost the right to deal with the issues when they're out there. Like Pastor John said, you still pray for them. You work through bitterness. You work through hurt. You work through whatever. You deal with that vertically. You pray. In my mind, I have a list of some of those who have left, and I pray for them. One, so my heart won't be hard. Two, so that I want them to succeed. I want them to grow and to deal with the issues that they didn't deal with in here. And if I need to change with something or we need to change, I pray that we will see that. So I pray for those people, but I feel with a clean hand we can be done. Why? Because we have responsibility to build. And that's why Paul will talk about get the leaven out, but then continue to build. But he also says caring for those, in 1 Corinthians 5, that if there's something that had to be dealt with out there, he said you're praying so that their soul may be saved. All right, there's different levels. There's a whole lot of stuff we're talking about. But there, can you think of any answer of why we would need to deal with people that aren't moving at all? Thank you. There, okay, and then there, and then there.
The exhortation of 6:1 is yes. That we need to reform the line. I immediately, after reading that, thought of a shield wall, and you have a bunch of individuals forming a solid wall against the enemy.
Okay.
You lose one man. If you're not fast enough, the enemy breaks through, pushes through that point, forms a spearhead, pushes through that point.
Yeah.
A good shield wall knows how to lose a member, close its ranks really quick. But an even better option is the men around you see your wavering. And I know 5:26, the challenging it talks about is the negative kind of challenging, being boastful, challenging each other.
Yeah, go ahead.
But in a better sense, challenging the one that's wavering, challenging the one mm-hmm. that's thinking about running, throwing down his weapons and running, opening up the shield wall.
Fine.
It is better to challenge that person to stay, to make sure that they realize the importance of what they're doing, the significance of what they're doing, and bringing them back. So it talks about to bearing another's burdens. You grab them by the collar as they turn to leave and throw them back in line and say, hold your spot. Thinking about the Saxons when they, under King Harold, they were working on that. They were working on, when they were fighting the Danes, too often the war cries, the chants, the beating on the shields would terrify the Saxon soldiers and they would turn and run. But there became a, they made it a point of individual excellence, reminding each other that they have such an important spot of protecting the people to their left and to their right. And so it became an individual thing that became a unified thing. It used to be just a whole block, and so then if one person in the block left, then all the block left. But now it's an individual excellence. You will hold this spot because you are protecting this person to your left and this person to your right.
Sandy.
I'm going to jump to verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity,
there you go.
Let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. And it's not only that we will reap. God is going to reap the glory if we bring somebody back into fellowship with him. So mm-hmm. it's not about necessarily mm-hmm. our personal interactions or relationships with people of the faith, but that it would bring him glory.
It would bring God glory. Here's where I was going with that. Southern Baptists have been big on having tons of members and only half of them come to the church. That's why when you hear Dever talk about it, they're in the Southern Baptist, we don't do this as much, but they're saying clean your roles out. Clean your membership roles out. All right, why do you need to make a big deal? You don't need to make a big deal. You can't do all the load for them, but you need to make a big deal about why there isn't any tension in their life, why they aren't taking their place, okay? For the name of God, it is caught. And if many, not as much taught, is caught, if many in the body aren't pulling their own weight, we're teaching everybody you can be a normal Christian and not hold your place in the line. That's not healthy. So, yes, you got to triage, and that's where we said we need to build healthy churches, not healthy individuals. You go, yes, we need healthy individuals. Yes, a healthy individual is somebody that makes healthy churches. All right, Nicole, and then we're done.
So it has to do with the... We've said about like those who aren't willing to work and everything, and some of the times it isn't even that they're not willing, they haven't seen it yet. And so we see them as actively opposing God, actively sinning, but they're just so lost in trying to live that right. They haven't seen it. So sometimes it is the point of just if we don't make that first contact, say like, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
They'll be too far gone before we get to the point.
Right. I may cross the line, and I may have crossed the line today in pushing too hard too fast. I'm not looking for you to change overnight. I'm looking for you to consider things you haven't thought of. Let it sit there. Just let it sit and then go back to the Word like Sheldon was doing there. Let it go back to the Word and mull on it and then ask all the buts. There's the problem. If people don't even realize this is a worldview change, when we get to that final question of why 8 years of future grace, I'm going to read you that paragraph again about officers versus infantrymen. Okay? Officers versus infantrymen. It's a worldview change, not a behavior change. If people don't see it, they don't see it. Part of seeing what they don't see is hearing what they don't think is part of the problem. Are you willing to help be the first time somebody has heard something, and then you leave it with God? Lord, would you help us? There's so much in here, and maybe I do cross the line. Will you help me to take responsibility for my words and for how I teach? And Father, will you help everybody to put on the full armor of God, and so that we can bear with one another, including me, and slowly work on these pieces so that we can, with one voice, glorify God, and that it does include caring for each soul where they're at, even if some have to be put on the six-month plan for a little while. Lord, would you do what only you can do in lives? We come in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you much.